Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Please have your attention. Stop what you're doing and listen.
Lincoln's exclusive radio home for the NCAA tournament is here.
I'm exhausted.
On Lincoln's ESPN FM 101.5, 1480 AM. You're tuned into the best damn Husker and NFL coverage on the radio.
We don't fly at 40,000 feet. We're not big picture group. They have work to do today.
You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
And if they focus on anything other than that, it's going to be a problem.
This is the Greggeth and Hook Show.
That's like a prerequisite to being at this level.
Welcome back into Greggeth and Hooks. We are efforting one Robin Washit right now. He's been dodging me lately. He keeps he's like, hey, we should get a brew. And then I text him. He's got work or something. Professional, I don't know. Something along those lines.
He's depressed as we all are.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine having to watch it. He's got to report it.
You know, when we talk to Robin, once we get him on here, I'll tell you one thing last night. If you want a, like, tiny positive that happened, a very minute one, but one, I text you, Amir Harris is going to be a solid player.
He is.
I don't know if he'll ever be great, but I think he's going to be a really solid player. He was 2 for 3 last night, and the two, I wish he'd have shot a little bit more because he had a small guy on him. And the touch that he used when he was going down by the bucket to get the is a nice little shot.
Well, I thought the one that he had, it was the lefty, wasn't it?
Yeah, the lefty.
Went lefty off the glass. Sweet. A little kiss off the glass.
That was nice.
It was good. And he had a couple really good defensive plays in there, too, for whatever defense we efforted.
I think it shows that the time he missed because he was kissing up on the wrong girls, allegedly, or whatever, with the mono, I think that hurt pretty bad because he was solid last night. You know, he didn't play a ton. Well, I guess he had 23 minutes. I thought he was solid. All right, let's go to, speaking of solid, when Robin Washit joins the show. What up, buddy?
Solid's a good way to put it.
Dude, I was trying to...
Not going to light up the stat sheet, but,
no.
You know, I'm here.
So before we get to
God
all
bless
the rest
you, Robin.
Of it...
God bless you.
Before we get to... Because there's a lot to talk about on this. Like, I can't believe the absolute turd that was put out on the floor yesterday by this basketball team, but... Before I do that, real quick, we'll start off on a positive note. Amir Harris, I thought, was a positive note in the game. That's all I got. That's literally all I got.
Yeah. I mean, get 4 points from a guy off the bench, and that's considered a highlight. That
well, he looked smooth, versus. Though. He was 2 for 3. I thought he looked smooth, played good defense, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he did what he was supposed
He'll
to do.
He'll be a solid player down the road. He's going to be really solid.
He needs to develop a jump shot. I mean, he has zero jump shot right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, he can defend at a Big Ten level. He's athletic enough to play at the Big Ten level. But his offense has a lot of work to do.
Okay, I got a question for you. I don't know if you have an answer to it, but we're going to start it off this way because this is the question that's been, as you might imagine, even though there's the 4 games left, if we want to be over the top positive, we can say there's still everything, you know, in the world is within reach for this team, right? We could do that if we want. But a lot of people are talking about what's next for Nebraska basketball. A lot of people have turned the page. They turned the page last night. I have a simple question for you, and I know you don't have an answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Is Bill Moose going to spend the money to go get the type of coach they need to be a culture changer around here? What is your feel on that?
Yeah, I mean...
I know you don't have a definitive answer.
Yeah, he has to. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to bury this program and... basketball purgatory by recycling the same plan that hasn't worked for you in 20 years and hope for some reason it's going to be different. But for me, like, it goes beyond just paying a coach a bunch of money. I mean, you got to do a full-on commitment to basketball. And they started that in a good way earlier in Miles' tenure with, you know, the arena and the practice facility. But after that, they haven't done much. This hasn't been the full administrative support behind Nebraska basketball that's necessary. And what I mean by that is, you got to give your coach, who, regardless of how much you pay him, a budget to go out and hire a top flight staff. And, you know, good assistant coaches aren't cheap. And so, I mean, you've got to increase the basketball budget to be able to assemble a staff that's going to be able to recruit at an elite level in a place that's very difficult to recruit to. You've got to be able to provide as many private jet opportunities as possible to get your coaches in living rooms to help those recruiting efforts. There are a lot of things that basketball has been such a secondary sport behind football, and by a great deal over, whether it's Bill Moose or Sean Eichhorst or, whoever, that's what's really, I think, as big of a hurdle in front of this program as anything. And so, yeah, you can go get some name people have heard of, but if you don't do a full-on commitment to basketball, this thing is going to, you're going to continue, running in place, just treading water, and the same coach or the new coach is going to deal with the same issues past three predecessors have had to deal with in the time, before him.
Hey, Robin, now go to the game a little bit. I know it's hard to even think back to that, giving up 93 points, but, scoring 70 for the first time since we played Penn State last. When you look at this game, was this more just when you look at that team, to help me through the disconnect when we say must win a lot here at Nebraska, time in and time out again, we get this type of effort that we get from Nebraska. Is there, what's the disconnect you think between, is it players, is it coach, is it coach and players? Where is this disconnect lying at right now?
I have no idea. This has been something we've been trying to find an answer to for 7 years, and have gotten no closer to figuring out what the common theme is. And it's especially interesting because there's been so much turnover, both with players and within the coaching staff, that I don't know what else you can put it on except the one common theme that's been there the whole time, and it's Tim Miles. And, to have your team, offensively they played okay. The first time they scored 70 points in 11 games, which is a whole other conversation, but, they shot almost 50% from the field and actually played all right. Good enough to win on the offensive end, but the just unfathomable aspect of that game was how bad they were on defense. You talk about this team rediscovering its identity after Isaac Copeland. To me, that identity was going back to just being a grinded out, relentless defensive team that, even if you're not scoring, you're going to play with enough effort and intensity on defense to make life extremely difficult and frustrating for the other team, to where, it's going to be a rock fight. It's not going to be pretty, but you will be in the game late in the second half with a chance to win. And then you can let the James Palmers, Robies, Watsons, go make plays down the stretch to win you a game. Nebraska was out of that game within the first, 3 minutes, and it was never a contest after that. And a lot of that had to do with Penn State having far and away in every aspect its best overall offensive performance of the year. And part of that was them just making shots, but another part of that was just that defensive intensity wasn't there. The rotations on the perimeter, when they went 1-3-1, guys were just kind of lazily, switching to the other end of the floor and leading Penn State with wide open three-pointers. And so it wasn't like they were making tough shots and just having this unconscious shooting night. They were making shots they were supposed to make because Nebraska wasn't in position to contest them. They weren't creating turnovers. The points off turnovers was a huge discrepancy, especially in the first half. And that's got to be something Nebraska hangs its hat on. We talk about how good they are in transition. They were one of the two or three best teams in the league in steals, and that just wasn't there. And to me, that's effort. And so why is there that drop-off in effort? The first person you blame is, the coach and the coaching staff. But this is a team full of seniors. You don't need to sit there and, rah-rah these guys up and, play all these mental games. This is a team that came back and came together again this offseason with the full understanding of what this season was supposed to be and what it was going to take to get to the tournament, and they're playing with this chip on their shoulder. And so for them to have such a relapse in effort, intensity, focus, all those things, I mean, that's just as much on them as it is on the staff. And so I think the majority of the blame should go on Tim Miles and his coaches, but you also have to point the finger at those players too and those seniors for, you know, not putting more of that responsibility on themselves and doing what they needed to do on both ends of the floor to take advantage of an opportunity that game was.
You know, Robin, I'll give you an example. I wrote this down during the game because it was on two consecutive trips, and it's an example of exactly what you're talking about, which is that the players have to be able to hold themselves accountable. But at the same time, this has to be a coaching deal too. There was twice where first of all, Tanner Borkart was being guarded by a guard. Okay. Wow. And there was twice where Roby got a switch, had a small guy on him, and was backing him down. And twice, Borkart ran down to the post where Roby was trying to back into with his guy. And then when he ran back out of there, now Roby's double-teamed. And as a player, you've got to have the common sense to know that that's our best guy right now, backing a small guy down into the block. I may have a small guy on me as a big, but I need to do one thing, and it's not bring my guy to him to get double teamed. He did it twice in a row, but that's not just on the player. At some point, coaches somewhere have to have given him the knowledge to know that that's a bad idea in its own right, and that in the game plan, we're going to get Roby in that block because they're going to put someone small on him at times. And it just was, it was absolutely, you can hear it in my voice, maddening to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we add it to the list of things that were maddening to watch in that game. But I, you know, that's an example of, I think, where Nebraska's roster is at this point, where you're relying on a guy that, you know, wasn't a basketball player coming out of high school. I mean, he was a football player, and then he just kind of made the team as a tryout for a walk on spot. And to his credit, you know, he's put himself in a position to be someone that's capable of, you know, being a productive player for Nebraska, mm-hmm. but probably shouldn't be playing 30 minutes a game. And his role on this team is to rebound. And so I guarantee you, one thing going in his mind was, all right, Roby's about to shoot it. I'm going to go get in position to get a board. Not thinking about, you know, all the other things that come along with putting yourself and your defender directly in front of the guy who's trying to shoot it. And I think that is so part of that particular situation is, I think, just a lack of experience. But part of it too is, you know, I think that this team just, they're still struggling to have that understanding of how they work, and, you know, what things they need to do to both compensate for their deficiencies like rebounding, but also put their guys in, you know, the best positions and, you know, work with your teammates to set up you know, high percentage scoring opportunities. And so, I mean, I guess that's, you know, just one of many, many layers of issues this team is dealing with. And again, you know, you're talking about a senior, you know, regardless of how much he's played. I mean, that's a guy that should know better. You know, just go down the list. You know, Glenn Watson going scoreless in the first half and getting one assist the entire game in 34 minutes of playing time. I mean, that, you can't have that. You know, James Palmer, 7 of 20 from the field. I mean, that's not good. You know, I mean, you just go down the list. I mean, guys just didn't show up and were making bad mistakes on both ends of the floor, more so on defense. But still, it's just kind of inexplicable that, you know, they're having those types of mental lapses this late in the season with such a veteran team. And, you know, I guess the blame goes all the way around, but certainly I mean, that's up to the coaches to have those guys prepared. But it's also up to the players to, you know, be able to just understand the basketball and not do little things like that that, you know, a lot of people might not even notice but have such a big impact on, you know, a particular play at any given time.
Robin, now when you go back and you look at this season compared to last season, does this put any highlight on missing a guy like Evan Taylor and what he did for us last year and not having that type of presence this year?
To an extent. I mean, I don't know. Like, you're talking about, again, you got a bunch of seniors. Like, yes, you, it would be nice to have a guy that could step up and, you know, take command of the huddle during a timeout, or, you know, if they're having a bad practice, be a little bit more vocal. But I go back to the point that this team shouldn't need that as much as they do. Personality aside, these guys are basketball players, and they're veteran basketball players, and they should know what it takes to accomplish what they were determined to accomplish this year. And so, I mean, I think that that's part of it. I do think that hurt this team, especially when things first started to go bad, you know, going back to early January. But at this point, you know, a guy sitting there saying, let's go in the huddle isn't going to do anything. I mean, this is about these guys taking ownership of what this season has become and doing the things necessary to change it. And right now, I mean, that was the worst example yet of them showing the ability to do that. And so, I, you know, you go back to last year, you know, they had Evan Taylor and the season fell apart, you know, with the way that season ended. So I don't think it would make much of a difference at this point. Maybe more so earlier in the year when they first started dealing with adversity. But right now, you know, I don't think it would move the needle much at all.
Oh, you just hurt his heart about Evan Taylor.
I'm sad.
Bill's a big E. Taylor guy.
All right, if they had Brandon Ubel? I'm just kidding.
They do have Brandon Ubel. He's been practicing with them.
Oh.
No, yeah. I mean, like, on the court, can we put him in Brady Hyman's
jersey?
Yeah, they could probably, I mean, just bunch some papers, you know, some transcripts.
Yeah, a little protein powder here and there, and all of a sudden it's like Brady Hyman shows up, and then it's Ubel. That'd be sweet. So here's a question for you. If Miles is able to get this team in the NIT, all right, because if they lose, if they go 0-4 now, and then, like, it's going to be tough, right? They got to win a tournament game to be eligible for the NIT at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But let's say he gets them in the NIT. I'm going to give you two ways to look at what's going on here, and then you tell me what you think. If he gets him in there, that means that Miles has gotten this team into postseason play, what, 3 out of the last 4 years? Yeah?
Yeah.
Because the NCAA tournament, then they stunk.
Wait.
Or is it 3 out of the last 5 years? 3 out of the last 4. Right? They only had 1 year where they went to the NCAA tournament, they
missed,
sucked.
NIT. Yeah, you went 3 of 5.
3 of 4.
Three of four.
Right. So you'd have a coach at Nebraska that got you into postseason play 3 out of 4 years. On one hand, so you can look at it that way. But we also have a situation of what we've all been discussing. There are some consistence over the last 7 years with the staff, with the team, with, you know, with everything that's going on. I mean, if he gets them in the NIT, and I can say that out loud, is that enough to keep your job?
I don't think so. No, just given the situation, I mean, there is a pretty firm line drawn in the sand by Bill Moose, and so far Nebraska is well behind that. And so, I mean, and NIT doesn't, I mean, that's not what this season was supposed to be. And Tim Miles would have told you that. Every single player would have told you that. And Bill Moose would have told you that all before this thing even got started. So the NIT doesn't do anything. I mean, the NIT is still a failure. It's a consolation prize that no one is going to even be excited about. So, no, it does not, because it's still an underachievement. It's still failing to meet expectations, both set for yourself and set for you by your boss. And so it's, you know, he has one chance to save this thing, and that is to pull off the miracle of miracles, which technically is still there. It's not going to happen based off what we saw last night. So until that door is finally shut, then I guess you could sit there and talk about hypotheticals. But right now, it looks like we already know how this story is going to end.
I agree with you. Like, I agree with you on all of that. But just on, like, the plain sentence, if I said a coach at Nebraska got to the postseason 3 out of 4 years, like, normally you and I'd be like, yeah, that was a good run. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying how weird it is to say that out loud. Because I agree with you. NIT is not good enough. I think, and especially in year 7. But if I told you Coach A, whoever it might be, had 1 NCAA tournament and then 2 NIT appearances in 4 years, we would probably usually be like, hey, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so just it's 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other, I think, kind of a deal.
Yeah, I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier about, like, if Nebraska wants to be a successful basketball program and hold their program to that standard where the NIT isn't good enough, mm-hmm. better act like it, and you better back it up. As an administration, I mean, you can't sit there and try and do the bare minimum and expect elite results. I mean, it doesn't work that way. And so when a change is made, Bill Moos and the Nebraska Athletic Department need to go all in. I mean, you spend a bunch of money on an arena that taxpayers are paying for, spend a bunch of money on a practice facility that, isn't getting any newer. Everybody else is getting nice practice facilities. And so the time is now. This hire is going to be so critical for the future of Nebraska basketball. Because if they go the same route or try and hire some dude no one's heard of that has no experience in the Big Ten or at a high major level, you're setting yourself back. We'll be doing this whole thing over again in 6 or 7 years. I mean, it's been a vicious cycle that Nebraska fans are tired of. And so now is the time to put your money where your mouth is. If you're going to sit there and set the bar for what this program is supposed to be, you got to do your part. You can't just say we're going to get X coach and he's going to solve all our problems, because it's not going to happen. You need a full commitment top to bottom, financially, administratively, from every aspect possible, to make Nebraska a winner. Because you're talking about the one team of all high majors that has the furthest to go to being the program you want it to be. And so, I mean, if we're talking about how that the NIT is not good enough, well, mm-hmm. it's about time for Nebraska to start acting on that and backing it up.
When we put out this podcast, Willie J, just to sum what he just said, Robin was stumping for Ty Lue.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I tweeted out, do you care if Nebraska basketball makes the NIT? Hashtag Huskers. It's 85% of the vote, and it's 300 people, so it's not like it's just 10 people. 300 people, 85% of the vote, they don't care.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's the other thing, too. So, I mean, when you look at that secondary postseason, Tim Miles has pretty much always left it up to his players, especially if it's lower than NIT, and you're talking about, like, the CBI or CIT, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, he basically lets his seniors decide, do you want to keep playing basketball? I mean, because especially with the limited benches that he's had, you got guys retired, and you're kind of putting into perspective what you're playing for. And so if they're in a situation now with so many seniors that they've had, and the season continues out the way it's on track right now, it wouldn't surprise me if they just declined it and decided to turn the page. I mean, because the NIT is not going to do anything for anybody. And if the players don't want to play, I mean, you were talking about just delaying the inevitable and making a already slow death even slower and more excruciating for everyone involved. So even if they do get in position to qualify for the NIT, I mean, they're going to have to make a decision as a team whether or not they want to continue this thing out. And maybe they do. I mean, maybe these guys still have enough gas left in the tank that they want to keep playing and play as much college basketball as they have left to play. But on the other hand, I've seen it where teams just are done. I mean, I remember the Dylan Talley, Brandon Ubel team. They had a chance to play in one of those third-tier tournaments, and they just said, nah, we're done. I'm tired. And so, it's been done before where they pass on that opportunity, and given the situation what it is, wouldn't surprise me if, even if the NIT is in the cards, that they say thanks but no thanks.
All right, Robin, I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Robin.
We're going to get like a foot and a half of snow Saturday. I know you drive a little race car. I'll come pick you up in my truck, and we'll go to Lancaster's.
Here's the game. 3 o'clock
I like
game.
That plan. I like that plan. Between you and Bill's Jeep, I feel pretty good about getting around in this weather. So
no, we'll be good. Nobody's showing up on Saturday with the weather coming down. Come on.
Hey, I mean, if I weren't getting paid, I probably wouldn't show up.
Touche.
Dang. All right, Wash It. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Robin.
Yeah, see you guys.
All right, that was Robin Wash It, HuskerOnline.com. Good stuff from him. A lot to discuss, man.
Yep.
I mean, there's just a lot there. We'll take a break, wrap up. Hour one's over. We'll get to hour number two, what's trending at 10. A lot of your phone calls, that's on tap.